Welcome to today's episode of Reading with Rasta. Today we will be reading The Signs We Missed by Lena S. May. Prologue. Wednesday, 3rd, January, 2018. Today. It's my fault. I'm not sure how yet, but it's what the white blank hospital room walls keep hammering into my head as the pungent, antiseptic smell makes my eyes water when all I'm trying to do is keep my composure. My fault. It's what they're all trying to say. The half-dead, bled-out body of the boy lying in the bed beside me, his fingers slowly losing their grip on mine. The overworked and unpaid nurse already rushing down the corridor, the non-specialist assistant doctor paying half his attention to the rhythmically beeping monitor, the other half to fumbling his phone to mute. And then there's my brother, leaning against the wall in the corner, his crystal blue eyes asking not what I've done, but when I planned on telling him that I was gay, which I'm really not. When I don't react, he looks down to the face resting on the pillow next to my elbow, and I do, too, empty whiteness staring back. I'm beginning to think it's burning into my retina, sucking every last speck of color out of the sky as I finally raise my glance to the window. I can't let myself get lost in the void that is now his face if I want to clear my head, but there isn't a single cloud drifting by to take hold of my attention, not a single leaf left in the trees, no bird, not even a gust of wind. It's just me and my trembling heart and my racing thoughts, and yet my loneliness is nothing in the face of what I now know he has been going through. How the hell did we get here? I feel like I was there every step of the way, but with my head covered in thick fog, my vision clouded, my ears ringing with his voice and still deaf, my skin burning but cold to his touch. I might have to go back to the very beginning to work this out, and I will. Most of them scream at the top of their lungs for months, but people either don't listen or they don't care, I remember someone, maybe one of the nurses, saying. Have you, Luke? Have you been screaming? Chapter 1. The New Guy. Monday 11th, September 2017. 3 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days ago. It was the second week of the term, and it had been raining all night. By the time Scene entered the school building, his jacket was soaking wet, and the way his t-shirt was clinging to his skin was prompting his grandmother's scolding voice to echo through his head. You'll catch a cold going out like that, Scene. Take the bus, Scene. At least take an umbrella, Scene. Well, he liked walking. Still, he wouldn't have minded an umbrella on the 30-minute walk from their well-kept suburban neighborhood to the graffiti-covered double doors guarding the sad gray chunk that was his school's main building. At least nobody had been frustrated enough to shatter either of the two window panes yet this term, but Scene was pretty sure Martin Luther King would still have had his doubts about lending his name to the desolate place far from the nation he had fought to improve. It was a bitter kind of nostalgia that had led to his own and his older brother's protests when their grandmother had tried to convince them to choose the more prestigious school right in their neighborhood. It wasn't even likely, as their grandmother never grew tired of reminding them, that their parents would have sent them to the Martin Luther King's, given the vicinity of the two schools, but going here, this close to their old home, had allowed them to at least occasionally catch the faint whiff of memory, keeping their parents alive. The memories had faded by the time he had become a middle grade student, though, and his grandmother's warnings about the significance of the school's name on your final degree had turned undeniably urgent when his brother had remained a bartender for 2 years after his graduation. As far as Scene was concerned, without any ambition of ever leaving the rundown place. He probably couldn't blame him, though, considering that the stench of booze at least belonged to a bar, whereas it definitely didn't belong where Scene found it that morning, in his locker, which had come with the charming feature of a broken lock after he had had to give up his old one on the second floor due to a burst pipe in the wall right behind it that hadn't been fixed over the summer break like he had hoped it would be. He had also hoped it would take the other kids more than just a week to come back to their old liquor hiding place, but the flat, almost empty bottle of cheap vodka that he found half-heartedly squeezed between his books told him otherwise. It hadn't been an open secret that this locker's new owner was the only person who wouldn't drink it. They would have probably thought of a new place for their precious treasures, but unluckily for Scene, he was left to pull out his books with his fingertips, carefully trying not to make the soaked, stinking label come off the bottle. He stepped back, pushed the door shut, sighed quietly when it jumped right back open, and moved it back in place with his elbow more slowly, so it at least looked closed. Making his way down the almost empty hallway, he He decided to carry his books home from now on, which was a shame, since nobody would have bothered to take them even if he had offered, but he didn't fancy starting his school day with the stench of alcohol in his nose. Before opening the door to the classroom, Sean took the usual deep breath, mumbling hello to nobody in particular when entering, heading right back for the back row. He didn't belong here, and he had known it from early on, lacking the natural ability to get along with virtually anyone that his brother had perfected along the way. But at least he had been able to just kind of blur into the background. A small puddle forming on the floor beneath his feet made him frown, remembering how last year an exchange student from Cardiff had made fun of their German fall, claiming ridiculous amounts of rain for his hometown, and even possessing the nerve to give a presentation comparing the rainfall depths to those of Cologne. Nobody had cared, really, and it soon turned out that he was a lot more dedicated to facts and figures than their entire class taken together was, probably. While Sean took off his jacket, trying to inconspicuously wring it out a little before putting it over the back of his chair, a piece of chalk hit a boy sitting on a table in the middle of the room on the head, making him curse roughly. A girl giggled in a high voice. A pen scratching across a single piece of paper gave away someone hastily trying to finish their homework, before the chattering of about 15 different voices talking without caring if anyone listened drowned the sound out once again. Sean turned away and noticed a bag lying on the normally unoccupied table to his left. With a surprised blink, he raised his glance. The unfamiliar boy beside him was blonde, a provocative smile spreading across his face as Sean's puzzled glance met the lit cigarette between his lips. "Want one?" the new guy asked and offered him the package. "No," Sean answered slowly. Smoking in the classroom was new. None of the teachers could be particularly bothered what they did during the breaks, as long as they didn't do it right under the teacher's room window, or return to the class with a bloody nose. But he could not imagine this new guy getting through with a burning cigarette smoked casually at his school desk. The blonde one just shrugged and flicked some ash to the ground. When their teacher came in, the guy who had been sitting on the table dropped to his seat, but his haste was uncalled for. Naturally, their teacher's eyes fixed on the smoking boy in the back row. The boy took a last puff, then crushed the butt on the scribbled tabletop. "Sorry," he said, smiling. The teacher shook his head, but, contrary to Sean's silent prediction, chose not to comment. Instead, he turned to the class. "As you might have realized, there's a new student in our class. He'll introduce himself." Heads turned. The new guy shrugged. "Hi," he said plainly. "Moved here." Some voices mumbled "Hi." The teacher shook his head again. "I hope you can keep up with our pace. The final exams are less than 8 months away, and time will fly, I promise." That sounded like a threat, not only to the new guy, but to the whole class. A threat they had heard at least a dozen times already. "You better get informed about what books you need and what has been done so far," the teacher added, looking directly at Sean. The new guy grinned at him from the side. "Sure, will do." The clouds were hanging deep and gray above the school building when the students exited for a break. Sean found the new guy between the science department and the main building, where the wind seemed to blow extra cold. The new guy wore nothing on his arms but a gray t-shirt, "Royalty," written in dark red capital letters across his chest. He was leaning against a wall, sprayed with graffiti, his worn bag between his feet, smoking. The fumes lingered halfway to the sky until the next gust blew them straight into Sean's face. Sean cleared his throat, since the new guy pretended not to see him. No reaction. So he asked, "Aren't you cold?" The new guy didn't look at him when he said, "No, Mom." He flicked some ash to the dead grass at his feet when Sean stepped closer. Sean hadn't realized how small the new guy was before. He couldn't be much taller than 5'3". "I'll show you the classrooms if you want me to," he offered. The new guy inhaled again before he finally looked up and met Sean's gaze. The pupils in his gray-blue eyes were almost gone despite the little daylight. "Don't you have friends or something?" he asked. Sean shrugged, surprised. "You want to buy cocaine mixed with flour? Everyone around here is your friend. If not, you might want to stay away." The new guy raised an eyebrow. "Are you giving me this advice because I look like a burnout? In that case, thank you very much." He turned to his cigarette once again, and Sean caught sight of dozens of white scars covering his forearm when he raised the cigarette to his lips. He had seen evidence of cutting before on others, but it hadn't caused the same unsettling tension it did now, seeing them on the boy in front of him. Maybe his rudeness was nothing but a defense mechanism. "If you don't watch it, you might become one," Sean said, trying to rescue both the conversation and his mood, taking a silent note to watch his words if he didn't want to come across as patronizing. "Uh-huh. And you watch it for the two of us, or what? What's your name, anyway?" the new guy wanted to know. "Scene," he answered quickly, smiling apologetically as he realized he had forgotten to introduce himself. The new guy frowned. Before Scene could give back the question, he asked, "How do you spell that?" Confused, Scene replied, "As it sounds, like bean, but with an S." The new guy started to laugh. "Sure, is that what the cool kids do around here? Purposely mispronounce their names? Scene?" He stressed the vocal, picking up on the fact that what Scene had just described should in fact be pronounced Sean. Scene rolled his eyes. He'd had this conversation several times. "My brother's name's Shane. I hardly believe our parents wanted us to be named Shane and Sean," he explained. The new guy grinned at the way it sounded, then asked, "What do you mean you hardly believe it? Have you never asked them?" "Our parents are dead," Scene answered tersely. He was not going to squeeze in the story of his life between Latin and chemistry, especially not for someone whose name he didn't even know. The new guy slowly nodded. "I'm sorry," he said, dropping his cigarette and stepping on it. Then he picked up his bag, turning to leave. Scene watched him speechlessly, but the new guy turned again after the first two steps. "Aren't you coming? I thought you were showing me the classroom." During chemistry, it turned out the new guy didn't have a clue about even the basics. He had missed the first two classes of the term, so Scene had to set up their experiment and tried explaining to him what they were about to do. And while he had been under the impression the new guy was listening attentively to him talking about purifying starch solution through the parchment paper he had been trying to stem of the funnel, by the time he got to filling in his protocol, the new guy had leaned back with his empty sheet in front of him, now blankly watching the group of students at the neighboring table using their funnel to see if they could spit their chewing gum through it. "They didn't have chemistry at my old school," he claimed as an answer to Scene's puzzled expression. "Sure," Scene nodded, pretending to buy that. He'd only done a single student exchange, but he was still pretty sure chemistry was mandatory at basically every secondary school. For a few minutes, the new guy did absolutely nothing. "Just copy mine," Scene offered, pushing his notes across the table. "Do we really need two copies?" the new guy asked, bugged. Nevertheless, he fished for a pen from Scene's pencil case. A second later, he grunted, "I can't even read that." Scene considered his handwriting and smiled. "Me neither, sometimes," he agreed. He pulled over the empty sheet lying in front of the new guy and let him have his finished notes. "Only 2/3 of the parchment bag should be filled with solution," he read out from what Scene had labeled precautions. "How do you even know shit like this?" he wanted to know while Scene filled in the other sheet. "I don't," Scene looked up briefly and grinned at him before continuing. "I'm copying yours." There was an audible eye roll in the new guy's voice when he replied, "And how do I know shit like this?" "Your book's under the table." Scene's left hand slid under the tabletop, his finger grasping the hard cover, pushing the textbook over to him. Gum from underneath was sticking to the cover, and moving it revealed two broken pencils as a consolation prize. The new guy pushed it closed under the table. "You can keep it if you don't have one yet," Scene offered. He finished his drawing, briefly looked at the first sheet, then wrote his name in the top right corner. "And which book are you going to have, then?" Scene shrugged. "My brother's. He's done with school." "So what is he doing?" the new guy asked. "Working at The Dragons. It's a bar in a pretty rundown area of town." New guy lowered his glance and pushed the sheet in front of him from his left hand to his right and back. "What is it?" Scene already had a vague idea of what it was. When the new guy didn't say anything, he carefully added, "Where do you live?" New guy looked up slowly, almost as if he was scared. "Directly above The Dragons," he answered cautiously. "Well, not directly. There's a few floors in between." And then, as if he was trying to justify it, he quickly added, "My mom and I didn't really get along. Threw me out, so I took the first thing I could afford with the child support they decided she has to pay me. You know, apartments there without deposit, and the rent is low, so... yeah." He looked at Scene like a dog waiting to be kicked. "How old are you, 17? Your mom just threw you out to live all by yourself now?" Scene wondered. New guy nodded. "Was the only way," he answered shifty. "Went by a social worker and everything, but she got pregnant, and the guy who took over her clients is just 1 year to go before his retirement, so he made a gesture as if he was writing something in the air between them. Signs. He suddenly interrupted himself, and something in his expression told Scene he didn't usually talk about himself. "I shouldn't come crying to you. At least I have a mother." He looked so sad that Scene quickly reassured him. We grew up with our grandma. She's really great. You should come visit us sometime." New guy appeared to think about that for a moment, then nodded again. "Yeah, maybe," he answered vaguely. Scene tore a piece from the white margin of his sheet and wrote his number on it. New guy slid it between the pages of the chemistry book Scene had given him and left without a goodbye when the bell rang at the end of class, leaving Scene to clear up the table by himself. He was nowhere to be seen when Scene left the building for the break. He didn't show up for their last class PE, although the gym was impossible to miss, and Scene spent the rest of the school day trying to convince himself there was no way he was missing the strange blonde boy already. "You're early," Scene was sitting on the sofa in the living room, looking up from his laptop poised on his knees when the sound of the front door opening alerted him to his brother's arrival, keys jingling, landing on a flat surface as if trying to pull him back to reality. For the past hour, he had been engaged in research he wasn't even sure he should be doing, but his thoughts had refused to let go of the blonde boy since he had come home from school. The TV was running, but the quiz show that was on had failed to capture his attention, and the voices and cheering had quickly faded into just a convenient background noise. For the past 30 minutes or so, he had been absorbed by trying to find out at least the new guy's name, telling himself he just wanted to avoid the embarrassment of admitting he had forgotten to ask him about it. Nobody had seemed to care at school, just like nobody had cared when he had smoked in class, and apparently, nobody had cared when his mother had decided it was time to kick him out, or when he had cut his arms a dozen times. But Scene cared. He didn't like to think about it, but he cared, and the 7 open tabs on his laptops proved it, including social media profiles of several classmates he had never cared to look at before, just to see if anybody knew him or knew somebody who did. Which didn't seem to be the case, and when his brother's day off came from the hall, he hastily closed the last profile he had been going through to not give Shane any wrong ideas. He briefly wondered where Shane had been so long if it hadn't been at work, but he replaced the question with the plain, "I see," turning down the volume of the TV when Shane entered the living room. "What's for dinner?" he asked, throwing his leather jacket over the armchair in passing, dropping in the seat next to Scene. His glance scanned the low table in front of the sofa, an almost empty glass of Coke, Scene's cell phone, and the TV program stared back. "Help yourself. Am I your maid?" Shane sighed. "What did you have?" "Pizza, but about..." Scene checked the clock above the TV. 2 hours ago. Something that had been lingering in the back of his mind since the morning came back. "You know, I've been wondering..." "Is there another pizza?" Shane interrupted him. "Think so. So, I've been wondering," Scene repeated. "Don't you want to get yourself a decent job or something? Grandma's worried too," he added quickly. "No way," Shane answered, obviously without even thinking about it. He got up. "I've got to pay for my car, remember?" He grinned and ruffled Scene's hair, then left for the kitchen. "You could still work at the bar part-time. You did that when you were in school," Scene called after him. He pushed his laptop aside, turned, and knelt on the seat so he could see into the kitchen through the open door. "Do you want salami or tuna?" Shane yelled back. "I don't want anything. I've eaten already," Scene answered impatiently. "Can I get an answer now? What are you doing with all that money, and with all the time you're not here at work? Can't you think of anything you might like to do?" "Not anything that would get paid properly. Also, none of your business, sweet brother." Shane pulled the salami pizza from the refrigerator, pushing the door shut. "Fine." Scene turned away, increasing the TV's volume without even having a vague idea of what was on. "You've got to preheat the oven." "What? Why?" Scene didn't answer, pretending not to hear him. "How?" "The little light bulb," Scene said. "Thanks." Scene heard 2 vague clicks. "For how long?" "Forever, if you don't give me an answer. Because in that case, I'm not helping you, seeing as how the oven will not heat up just by turning on the light. What are you doing with your money and your time? How many girlfriends do you have to buy presents for?" Shane moaned, clearly annoyed. He came back and leaned in the doorway to the living room. "None. Would you like a little girlfriend, Scene?" He pulled his cell phone from his pocket and tossed it at his brother. "Choose something pretty." "What do you mean, none?" "What I just said. But you do..." Shane rolled his crystal blue eyes. "What's your problem? I'm hardly around." "Are you serious? You barely finish school to get yourself an expensive car and sleep around in it, thinking that's totally fine? You're going to give Grandma a heart attack." "What's giving me a heart attack?" "Hello, Shane." Gerda appeared in the hall behind Shane, stretching to kiss her grandson on the cheek. "Scene's overreacting again," Shane answered with a light smile, running his fingers through his thick black hair, which had fallen into his face. Another thing they didn't have in common, Scene thought. His own hair was as brown as his eyes, and despite Gerda reassuring him he was such a pretty boy, there was no way in hell he could compete with the face of an angel Shane had been blessed with. Plus, his brother was taller, leaner, and more muscular than he was. "Tell me," Shane now turned to Gerda, "how do you preheat the oven?" "Big mistake." "What for?" Gerda asked suspiciously. Shane bit his lip. "Pizza?" It sounded almost like a question. He laughed when he dodged beneath her fake slap. "Why don't you have the vegetable stew you didn't touch yesterday?" Gerda asked, threatening. Shane made a face. "Because of the bean. Besides, Scene likes it so much." You'll see where this gets you once you're fat and sick, Greta snorted scornfully, her hands on her hips. No farting, that's for sure, Shane replied, grinning. Ungrateful brat, she cursed, holding back a smile. I'm off to bed. Enjoy your frozen pizza. Good night, scene. Night, Grandma, he mumbled. His phone started vibrating on the table. He frowned at the foreign number before picking it up. Shane approached with a big smile. Are those your dirty little secrets coming to light, Seenie? Scene motioned for him to be quiet. Hi, it's me, a still unfamiliar voice said on the other end of the line. Scene had no trouble recognizing it anyway. I've just been thinking you've probably done your math homework. Scene had to focus on listening because his brother kept trying to get his ear to the other side of the phone. I've got a pen and a piece of paper. Give me your results is enough. Here we go, the new guy said without having received any sort of answer so far. 2 minutes, I'll go get them. What's going to take you so long? Are you in a hurry? I've got to go upstairs. Salab's big's your house, then? Scene blinked in confusion. Do you want me to study architecture or get the homework? He asked, now a little disgruntled. Off you go. Scene pushed his brother aside and went upstairs. 97 seconds, the new guy said, as he had told him he had gotten to his room. Scene laughed. You ready? Been ready for an eternity. After about half of the solutions, the new guy said, that should be enough. Scene heard paper rustling, a window opening with the creak, then the click of a lighter. Smoking gives you cancer, Scene said. Right, the new guy agreed. Just like stress gives you stomach ulcers. That's why you're doing the homework, so we can share a room in the hospital. Might even have them bury us side by side. Awesome, huh? Awesome, Scene echoed, picturing a short, filthy man with a stubble and a beard and a stained shirt barely covering his girth that filled his entire kiosk, selling cigarettes to minors without a hint of guilt or any fear of being caught doing so by the police, for that matter, as the police rarely showed up around the Dragons. Maybe that was why Shane liked it there. Unless you got a girlfriend you want to be buried next to? The new guy asked casually. You're questioning me again, Scene returned, ignoring his heartbeat, becoming just a tad more palpable suddenly. So that's a no, then. A no, Scene admitted. Do you? Since he had just moved to a new town, probably not. Stupid question. Neither, the new guy said plainly. Just to change topics, Scene asked after a brief moment of silence. Did you do Latin yourself, or do you want that too? Nah, that's the only thing I can actually do. Do you want me to pick you up tomorrow morning, Scene asked abruptly, around 7:20? Sure, if you wanna. Name's Luke. The call ended before Scene could even respond. He stared at the display incredulously when Shane pushed open his door without knocking, Scene's laptop in his hands. If you're interrogating me because you want to quit school to be a bartender, you should find yourself your own damn bar, Shane told him, sounding both slightly pissed off and almost amused. Scene halted, already on his way over to push him back out of his room. What? Without a word, Shane turned Scene's laptop around to show him what was on the display, the address of the Dragons at the top of the page, a few tenants' names and landline numbers below, but the new guy's, Luke's, wasn't one of them, as Scene knew now. Why would I want to work at that shithole? He hissed, ripping the laptop from Shane's hands. He almost stumbled, not expecting Shane would just let go. Then what are you looking for? Want to buy something in the area? Shane raised an eyebrow, taking his brother's expression in as he watched him regain his balance. As I said, none of your fucking business. Scene shut the door on him a little too hard. And that is it for this reading of Reading with Rasta. That was The Signs We Missed by Lena S. May. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.